Today on an emergency episode of the College Football Roundup, a coaching legend goes down and a Heisman hopeful is injured. This is the Monday Report, starting now. All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to an emergency Tuesday edition of the Monday Report and the College Football Roundup. It is Tuesday, September 23rd, 2025, and, well, some things have happened today. I was going to sit in the library and write my book all day, and then, no, we got college football stuff to handle today, so here we are. First of all, and arguably the top story of the college football news day, Mike Gundy has been fired. I talked about him yesterday with Oklahoma State. I think I did. Either way, I've talked about Oklahoma State in the past and the myriad problems they're having this season. Well, after a horrible loss to a rebuilding Tulsa team at home over the weekend, Mike Gundy was let go today. Mike Gundy is the greatest head coach in the history of the Oklahoma State Cowboys. He was there for some 20 years, and before he got there, he took over for Les Miles when Les Miles left for LSU after 2005, I think, or in 2005. Either way, before Gundy was the head coach at Oklahoma State was not a team known for going to bowl games or contending for conference titles, but Gundy raised the expectations over his 20 years of coaching, where not only was a bowl game expected, that was the minimum requirement, was a bowl game. That's what Oklahoma State did. They go to a bowl game, they contend for conference championships, and they try to get a national championship. In actuality, Oklahoma State getting snubbed by the BCS in 2011 is arguably why we have the college football playoff right now. And I remember that viscerally, the outrage that Oklahoma State didn't get in to the BCS National Championship game that year. And it was outrageous. So that's all well and good, but how did we get here? That's the question. How did we go from he's a legend, everyone likes him, to yeah, he's got to go, it's time's over? Well, Gundy thought that the transfer portal would be a fad, that it would come and go, and that would be that, and things would return to the way they were. But that was naive. Once you let the money cannon out of the bag, once the cat's out of the bag, once you've opened Pandora's box, you can't put all that away. That was foolish. So for about 2.5 years, starting about 3 years ago, Gundy just didn't do the portal. And every year, the depth that he'd been recruiting was going out and not coming in. The teams were not replacing their talent as well, and they started getting worse and worse until last season when the bottom fell out and they won like three or four games. They were just awful. So in December of last year, Gundy started buying players in the portal. He didn't like it, didn't really buy into it, but necessity dictated that he buy players from the portal. And they brought in a whole bunch of players they brought in some players in like the January window, and then they brought in a whole bunch of players in the spring window after spring training. And while yes, it was, you know, the portal and everything, but you can't assemble a roster like that in like 4 months. You can't do that. So Oklahoma State has been a mess, to say the least. And the issues at Oklahoma State go even beyond the portal. Like Gundy is a personality. Like, his claim to fame was back in 2007, he went on a crazy rant in a press conference when the press was criticizing one of his players. And he, no joke, said, "I'm a man, I'm 40. you know, and he was going on about how, you know, don't get after him, get after me, I'm a man, I'm 40. It's legendary stuff. He was more known for the rant, the I'm a man, I'm 40 rant, than he was for being the head coach at Oklahoma State. And so he's always had a bit of a weird personality kind of vibe with everything. And as of late, his attitude with both the press and Oklahoma State fans has been kind of surly. Like, he started saying that fans who were criticizing his team were just the kind of people who, you know, live in their mom's basement and don't have a job and have to tear other people down to find meaning in their lives. And he got really angry at press reporters for asking dumb questions, and it was bad. And this all came to a head after last season when Oklahoma State said, listen, either you're going to take a pay cut and we're going to cut down on your buyout, or we're just going to fire you. You choose. And he chose to take a pay cut and he embraced the portal. But after losing to Oregon 69-3 or whatever, and now losing to Tulsa, Oklahoma State is 0-3. And that's it. It's done. He's gone. And that's really sad because Gundy has been a huge personality. He's been one of the more fun. I mean, I was one of the optimists who was saying, yeah, maybe they'll turn it around this year. I predicted that Gundy and them would turn around Oklahoma State and things would be a little better this year. But alas, it wasn't meant to be. Now, for right now, offensive coordinator Doug Meacham is going to be the interim head coach. And maybe he wins 7 games and rights the ship and things are all hunky-dory. Maybe. More than likely, though, they're going to be looking for a new head coach. And that's where things get interesting, because Oklahoma State isn't a, quote, like, AAA kind of job. It's not like a Bama or Ohio State. But it is a more attractive job than a lot of people probably realize. Excuse me while I take a drink. And it'll be one of those jobs where, considering the money that Oklahoma State can bring, they're not poor, they can bring money to the equation, I would not be surprised if some bigger names are involved in the search. And some possible new head coaches that I've been hearing about and some that I kind of would like to see maybe get a shot. The obvious choice is Will Stein. Will Stein is the hotshot savant offensive coordinator at Oregon. He was great with Bo Nix when Dan Lanning first got to Oregon, and he's been really good with Dante Moore this year, and he's one of these younger guys, and he's really good with the portal, and he's good at developing quarterbacks. He's going to be a good head coach, and it's going to be next year. So that, don't be surprised if Will Stein is like the front runner for the job. Other coaches to think about, Jim Knowles, the current Penn State defensive coordinator, was the defensive coordinator at Ohio State. The reason why he comes up is because he was the defensive coordinator under Mike Gundy at Oklahoma State in like 2021 and earlier. And his defenses were nasty. Those were some great defenses. And in actuality, it was this what he was able to do with his defense with a team that really couldn't recruit on the level of Ohio State, but made a defense better than Ohio State's defense under Alex Grinch, that ultimately inspired Ryan Day to bring Jim Knowles to Ohio State starting in 2022 and 2023. So he's got a connection. He coached under Gundy. He knows the administration. But he's older. He's in his 60s. He's got a big old gray beard. He's never really been one of these guys who was regarded as like, oh yeah, he'll be a head coach. So, I mean, if it was like a prodigal son returning kind of thing, then maybe you go for Jim Knowles because he brings good defense. But I don't know if he's young enough for kind of rejuvenating the program. Some other names that to consider, Jeff Traylor, who is the head coach at University of Texas San Antonio, the Roadrunners. he is one of these guys who's constantly having to like replace players and coaches because they just get poached and go up to a higher level. And yet he's had some great success with UTSA, and he's one of these hotshot young G5 guys. So Jeff Traylor would definitely someone to keep your eye on. Another one, and this is an interesting one, would be Ben Arbuckle. Ben Arbuckle is the 29-year-old offensive coordinator of the Oklahoma Sooners. Arbuckle's claim to fame is coaching up Cam Ward and John Mateer at Washington State, and now coaching John Mateer at Oklahoma. And we'll talk about John Mateer in a bit, so we'll get back to him. But Ben Arbuckle is one of these really young, energetic, new, hip kind of head coaching things, which is very much in vogue in the NFL right now. And his offenses have been really good and explosive, and he's really good at developing all-world, first-round draft pick QBs. So if Oklahoma State could actually manage to pull him away from their hated rival, who is in another conference, but still, I think that'd be huge for Oklahoma State. Although I don't think that's the direction they're going to go, just because he's only 29. I mean, he's my age. I couldn't even imagine being the offensive coordinator at Oklahoma at my age, let alone being a head coach. That would blow my mind. I'd be like, that's crazy. I don't feel old enough for that kind of thing, you know? So Ben Arbuckle, but he's definitely going to be head coach. Now, I think it might be in 2 or 3 years after he's a little older, but he's going to get his shot. Now, maybe Oklahoma State decides to take a flyer on him and get in on that game early. But the last name I'm going to mention for the whole Oklahoma State head coaching job is Jason Eck. Jason Eck was the head coach of the Idaho Vandals last year. This year, he's the head coach of the New Mexico Lobos. And what he's been able to build at Idaho and now New Mexico is very impressive. And that would be a risky hire, because he's only been at the FBS level for 1 year, and it's with New Mexico. But I think he's a good coach. He brings a really, having been to the Michigan versus New Mexico game, that New Mexico team was very physical, and they gave really good effort. There was no loafing. They weren't as talented as Michigan, but you could tell they were a team that plays hard and gives good effort and is well coached. So that might be a name that people should look out for, Jason Eck. Now, on to the other big story of the day. John Mateer has a broken bone in his throwing hand, in his thumb, and he will be out for likely a month because he is getting surgery. So apparently, during the first quarter of an eventual 24-17 win over the Auburn Tigers, John Mateer he broke a bone in his throwing hand in his thumb. And he is going to be having surgery tomorrow. And apparently the surgery is rather straightforward, so it's, you know, that's not a big deal. But recovery time is looking to be about a month. Now, this obviously has implications. Oklahoma is one of the top 10 teams in the country, and John Mateer is arguably the Heisman frontrunner, and they had really serious playoff aspirations. But at least for the next four games, Michael Hawkins is going to be Oklahoma's starting quarterback. And Michael Hawkins is not John Mateer. He was at Oklahoma last year. He's just okay. From what I was able to gather from looking at the comments of Oklahoma fans, they're not super enthused about the prospect of Michael Hawkins being their starting quarterback for the next 3 or 4 games. Now, the good news for Oklahoma is they're on a bye this weekend. So they're not, the damage is limited. And the game after the bye is Kent State at home. So it's one of these things where for the next 2 weeks, you've got a little bit of runway to get Michael Hawkins up to speed and to kind of get things fleshed out. Because after Kent State, you have a neutral site game against the Texas Longhorns. the Red River Shootout. Now, I know they call it the Red River Rivalry now, but it's always going to be called the Red River Shootout. So, Red River, it's coming. And Texas is going to be at pretty much full strength. And man, Oklahoma, that's a conference game. It's a huge, huge, huge rivalry game. So, you hope Michael Hawkins is playing good. And if not, you hope John Mateer is miraculously back after like less than 3 weeks. Now, I doubt it, but that's the hope if you're a Sooners fan. And Oklahoma, if Oklahoma can beat Kent State, they can afford to lose to Texas. It'll be a bitter pill to swallow, especially if they get like blown out against Texas. That'll rub fans the wrong way. But if they can then turn around and go to a flailing South Carolina team and beat them in probably a very ugly, low-scoring defensive game, a 2-1 record after those three games with Mateer coming back, that would be arguably the best outcome. Because I don't think there's any chance that Oklahoma with Michael Hawkins beats Texas. I'm sorry. So, if they can have the problems they go beyond Michael Hawkins because Oklahoma can't run the ball. John Mateer ran the ball a lot for Oklahoma. So without him, who runs the ball? And if you're trying to expect Michael Hawkins to operate the offense at a high level without a run game, it's going to be a long month. Because it's looking like it's going to be a month for John Mateer. So you're hoping that somehow the run game can step up in Mateer's absence without his production, without the threat of his passing, and really take shape and help defeat teams like South Carolina and Texas. Is this the end of John Mateer's Heisman campaign? Yep. Yep, 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 yep. As of right now, Fernando Mendoza, the starting quarterback of Indiana, is the front runner in my mind for the Heisman Trophy, because that dude is slicing and dicing defenses, and with Mateer out, it's looking like his chances of winning another Heisman for Oklahoma are pretty much zero. So. And this is really a shame because I really like John Mateer. Even though they beat Michigan, I like Oklahoma. I like their fans. The ones I've interacted with online. And Mateer is a great QB. He was my pick for the Heisman. I picked Oklahoma to possibly be a playoff team to contend for the SEC. And this is a gut punch for anyone who wanted Oklahoma to do well this year, because John Mateer was thought to be the secret sauce that was going to fix the struggling offense under whatever their head coach's name is. It's been a long day, so my brain is kind of fried, but the point still stands. Brent Venables, there's his name. For some reason, I was going with Dave Aranda, and I knew that wasn't right, and then it was Brent Pry, and I knew that definitely wasn't right. Brent Venables. So, if they can get a winning record, 2-1, if they can just get a win in those three games, I think that might still be able to save them, assuming they win out the rest of the season. So, it's going to be a tall mountain to climb for Oklahoma. But, I'm quietly optimistic that it can happen. So, hope springs eternal. Fingers crossed. Get well, John Mateer. And to circle back to the Oklahoma State thing, Godspeed, Mike Gundy. I hope you end up on game day alongside Nick Saban, because by all accounts, you're hilarious. You and your mullet. So that, I think it'd be great to see you on TV. But it's sad to see it end this way. I would have liked to see Gundy get to ride off in the sunset, even if it was going 3-9. I would have liked to see him retire at the end of the year versus getting unceremoniously kicked out of the building, so to speak. So that's sad. You don't want to see that, especially guys who are very, like, you know, guys like Bobby Bowden, who was just unceremoniously fired back from Florida State back in the day. You don't want to see that. You want to see these legends go out on a high note. You want to see them ride off in the sunset like Bo Schembechler or Jim Harbaugh when he went out on a high note, or Fritz Kreisler, and these are just Michigan names who went out on top. You don't want to see them go out just slink away in the night, because I got fired. So it's a sad situation, but it had to happen. After losing to Tulsa, there was no way they were going to keep him around. They couldn't. There was no way. The team was flailing. They weren't buying in. They were showing no effort. It was bad. It was toxic. Excuse me. Another drink of water. So that's going to about sum up the breaking news on this Tuesday. So for those of you listening on everywhere podcasts are available, thank you, thank you, thank you. Spread the word. For those of you watching on YouTube, like, comment, subscribe, hit the bell icon, spread the word, and help this channel grow. Can we get to 11 subscribers? I know I was asking for 10 for like 2 months. Let's get to 11. Come on, big money, no whammy, no whammy. Let's get to 11 subscribers. All right. Unless there's something else insane that happens this week, this will be probably my last episode of the week. And you can expect the next regular installment of the College Football Roundup on the Monday Report next Monday. Either way, my name is H. James K. Thank y'all for tuning in. Until next time.